In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So Fabian and I, when we drove up today, we were wondering, oh no, did we somehow get the day wrong? Because there's nobody here but us, right? So I don't know, is it supposed to be next week, or what's going on? But apparently in Fabian, you know how to come out of the woodwork at the right moment. At the right moment. Because you're all here just before we began Mass. So thanks be to God. It's great to be back here, and I want to share with you something else that Fabian said. As he walked through here and stepped outside the door and looked around, he said, you know, Father, I just love coming to the missions here. Just love being here. Because they're always situated in the most perfect place. So beautiful is it here. Isn't that right, Fabian? Just marveling at the beauty of this area. And now we know why it is that our forefathers chose this particular place to homestead, to come and to build a life for themselves. And also to find the right place in order to build the church on the brow of the hill. Something that would look over something which is great. To make sure that Christ and his church towered above everything else. That's the way of our Catholic tradition. It's always been that. And as you go through all the hills and dales, all the great and small communities all throughout Europe and everywhere the church has been spread, you find the exact same thing. It's the church which is planted among the top of the hill so that it'd be the highest point, not only the closest point to heaven in our eyes, but also the closest point where people would say from everywhere you can realize where it is that you're supposed to go. What is it that is most important? That which towers above the rest, which is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate how he is supposed to be not just merely the center of all of our towns and the highest point of all of our places, but how he's supposed to be the very center of our families. Center of our families. This is the Feast of the Holy Family, which we celebrate here, and which has always been celebrated here within our particular mission. The Holy Family. Who's the Holy Family? Trey?
Mary, Jesus, and Joseph.
That's right. That's right. And I like how you said it in that order. You said it in that order. Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, right? And so why do you say Mary first? Why would you say Mary first? You're the one who said it first. Why would you say Mary first?
Because
you were raised right, is what you meant to say, right? Because you were raised right. And so that means you show deference to what is the essence of the family. Who is the one person who embodies family life within the family? Who is the family itself? It's Mom. That's Mom. Mom is the one who embodies family itself. And so we see that as well within the same way. Would our Lord in any way be miffed because he is also God, that he would be mentioned second by you, Trey? Would he? He would be? No, he would not be. He would not be. Because who does our Lord, who is Jesus Christ, value most? His mom. His mom. He follows exactly what this book of Sirach was speaking about here. He values exactly what God has sent down on Mount Zion when he gave the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. Honor father and mother. You're to be honored above all things. The child subjugates himself always to the parents. That's a right ordering of things. And so that even goes for our Lord who is God. No different. And for that very reason, we can say that it is impossible to give too much honor, too much deference to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? Do you think, Trey, that you're ever going to love her more than Jesus Christ loved her? It's impossible, right? And he being a perfect disciple, a perfect son, perfect in every way, perfectly following the law, how much deference and respect and love did he give to his own mother? Immeasurable perfect, right? And that means if you and I are going to be Christian, which means to be little Christ, then shouldn't we do the same? Got to be just like Jesus Christ in every way, in every way. And to love what our Lord Jesus loved. To treasure what our Lord Jesus treasured. To honor what our Lord Jesus honored to the degree of the best of our own individual human frail position as he did. So that's why you'll never be able to do it. Because what does Our Lady always do with all the honor which is given to her? Always points it right back to her son. Said, yeah, he loved me like this. See how great he is. Because he's the object of all my love. And so that's what she does, perfectly turns us back to him and shows us the way to love him all the more. That's the great grace of our Marian theology and why she's the very center of our families. Now, what it speaks about here is it speaks about the right ordering. And both of these readings, both from Sirach and also from Colossians, tells us exactly how your family life and my family life has to go. At what point do you no longer have to honor your father and mother? When do your obligations toward your father and mother end? Anybody know?
When they're dead.
When they're dead. What about when you turn 18? No? You still, Asa, you still got to take care of mom and dad? You still got to honor them? Just because you live in their house? No, not just because you live in their house. Even when you've already married and hitched yourself to another great one, you got to stop? No, still got to honor your mom and dad. What about when they're super, super old and finally you've got your own grandchildren of your own? Do you still got to honor them? Still got to honor them. What about when they're dead and gone? Do you still got to honor them? Still got to honor them. It goes on throughout eternity. In fact, all throughout, that is an obligation that never ends. We spoke about that I think last time as well, but it bears repeating because we need to hear it often. There are three debts that the ancient philosophers tell you and I that we can never repay. Do you know what those three debts are? Three things that you are indebted to that you'll never ever, no matter how much you were to give, even if you were to give your entirety of your life, not just your finances, your entirety of your life, what three debts could you never repay? Even if you were to give your very life in sacrifice. I heard somebody say, God. That's right, because God created you. God brought you into being. God loved you into existence. You never pay him back. Even your own death through a martyrdom doesn't pay him back. Doesn't even come close. What's the other one? So that's the first one. So Jesus is God, so that's that one. But there you go. To your parents. Heard it. It's all whispers. It's all whispers. You don't have to be so lacking in confidence. To your parents. Why? Because they brought you into the world. They nourished you. They cared for you when you were a little next to nothing. So easily could have snuffed that life out, but yet honored it, protected it all throughout. You owe your very being, your existence in this life to them. Nothing you can do can ever repay that. And the third one, which is there, would be for our patria, which would be to the social order that we were born into. Because we weren't born into a lack of social order. So in a sense, to our government. So that's why patriotism is something that we should always have. Rightly ordered patriotism, but always in that order. God, then to your parents, and then to the state. And if any of those come into conflict in any place, to one of the higher ones, you always go to the higher one. Always go to the higher one. So those are the three debts that you could never repay. And so for the whole of your life. And what does it speak about in our reading from the book of Sirach about that in particular? It says, son, take care of your father when he's old, and grieve him not as long as he lives. So what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Really what it means is to make sure that you don't dishonor their name by your actions, by the things that you do within your life, not to make a fool of yourself, to make sure that you follow in the right training that they gave you or the right training that they should have given you if they didn't under God. But then beyond that, even when they are old, to make sure to take care of them. And some of you struggle greatly with that right now. And all of us, if God blesses us with a long enough life, we will be blessed to struggle in that way. I'm telling you that from somebody who's not able to do that because my mother has already gone on. And so I do not get to struggle to take care of her in her old age. And so as hard as that is, with the difficulties that they had there, one of the things to remember is so did they struggle for you when you were defenseless, when you were a whiny little something or other, when you had your struggles with them and maybe even said those most accursed words. I can't even mention here when you were so angry because they weren't giving you what it is that you wanted and you thought it was so unfair and that evil erupted from your mouth. So even now, if things come out of them toward you when you're taking care of them, treat it the same way as they did. To realize that they have no idea what they're saying. That they're struggling in a difficult way right now. And it is our opportunity to offer this in love for them. Always to the end, to honor those within our family. But it has those responsibilities as well as you well know of being parents, even spiritual parents, the ways in which you have to struggle. When it says here that we ourselves are to make sure that parents, that we are to make sure that we do not provoke our children. Well, what does that mean? Do not provoke your children. It means there's a way of doing what's right, of preaching what is true, but you don't have to be a jerk about it. To realize that they're human beings too, not to be destroyed, but the more and more you provoke them, the more and more you're unnecessarily harsh with them, also causes them to resent the authority which God has given you over them. And we have a duty to make sure to preserve that. To realize that there's some moments, and I've seen some of you parents do this in so beautiful ways that when I go and visit the homes, when somebody's having a tough time, you know how to deal with that the right way. But then there are other times where, you know, I just got to let that one slide a little bit. Because if I'm too heavy-handed with them, then they're going to turn strongly against me and it's going to be all the worse. So it's not a science being a parent. It's really an art. Really an art form. To know how hard one can be at moments and how soft one has to be at moments. And not to treat every child in the exact same way because every child is a totally different entity. Some need more strength and others need more softness. And to realize that your goal is to make sure that you do not provoke them to rebel against you. So that, as the scripture says, they will not become discouraged. So don't squash that spark of freedom that they have there, that liberty. But to nurture it in such a way, but then also to redirect it in the right way. And this is how the rightly ordering of the family is. In so many ways, Mary could have been tempted here at this very moment to come down hard on the Lord, right? Come down hard on him. Look, we were so anxious for you for 3 days. We had no idea where you were. We thought you were someplace that you weren't with. That she could have come down hard on him. Joseph could have taken out the rod and gone to town on him, right? It would have been within his rights. Nobody would have looked askance at him if he would have done so. But yet, they didn't act in that way. Why? One, they knew who their son was, that he was God. There must be a good reason. But out of their anxiety, why? What's the reason? You have a reason in why you're doing this. What's going on? And our Lord explained everything. And though even they didn't understand the full meaning of his words, he said, well, okay, this is the way forward. It's the first time we've ever seen anything that didn't seem exactly aright in him. So there must be something deeper here. And so she treasured this, as she treasures all things Mary does, within her own heart. A great example for you and I. A great example for you and I to ask those questions, to seek to understand. Isn't that what our patron, St. Francis, writes for us in that beautiful canticle of all creation? Where he says, better to, O Master, grant that I may never seek, so much to be consoled as to console, to love as to love, to be understood as to give myself to understand. And so in the same way is the right ordering of our families. Let's ask our Lord, as we spend this time together as a parish family, as a family here in this mission of Pintada that celebrates the whole of the Holy Family together, to ask in some way that somehow that we can fulfill the role in which we have, all the better, those of us who are parents, to make sure that we take care of those who are beneath us and to not to provoke them, as well as to recognize that we have parents too, and we're to continually to pray for them, even if they've gone on to glory, to pray that they will, if they're not yet in heaven, that they will be sped by our prayers through the offerings of the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass that we do, to make sure that we as children do not assault our parents. And even in their old age, to recognize their struggles and hardships that go along with it, and not be discouraged, even when those moments don't go as neatly and as correctly as we think our dignity deserves. And as husbands and wives, though we did not cover that particularly in this relationship, to make sure that we have a rightly ordered headship within our family, to make sure that we do not spurn one another, grow in bitterness toward one another, but let love and the mutual submission that is supposed to take place, as it speaks about in the scriptures, to always be our guide in each situation, and therefore we can live more and more like the Holy Family. More like Jesus, who fulfilled all those roles perfectly, always honoring Mary and Joseph, who were those who God had placed in authority over him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.